I'll check. Testing. Making sure everything's working here. Yes, indeedy deedy. Fish and Frank here. I walked in the door. Captain Dwayne French standing there. I says, hey, let's go do a little radio fishing. So here we be. There we go. Here we are. And all the other stuff. We Fishing Frank in the chair with Captain Dwayne in the chair across from me. What's up, Big D?
Good morning, folks. How's everybody this morning? Looks like it's going to be a pretty Monday for us anyhow.
Oh, yeah. It's well, you know, they love that you're here, Dwayne. You know, Captain Day, you know, everybody's just excited that you're here. They're going crazy.
Yay!
Okay. I'm trying to work myself up. All right. So how's life in the wide world of charter boating? I mean, today is kind of a dreary day. Yesterday, the wind really picked up.
Wind picked up pretty good yesterday. We still managed to make everything happen, as always. But had today off, do a little boat maintenance, get stuff ready, change some oil in the big boat, and work on the small boat and getting ready for them tarpon.
We had replacing batteries on the small boat?
Batteries on the small boat, little service. You know how it goes. There's never ending to this game. There's always something to do.
Break out another 1,000. So, now, at this time of year, you're usually pretty much tarpon city. What's been going on with the tarpon?
Actually, the tarpon have showed up fairly well. Had a few this weekend, actually. So, we'll see. First of the month, it's game on. We're booked pretty much every day. Don't get discouraged, though. Please give us a call. We will make room somewhere, somehow, for whoever gives us a yell. But I think we're going to have a real good season.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you're really into the tarpon. You're one of the top-rated tarpon guides. You've been out doing this for, you know.
Don't tell them. You tell my age.
I know, forever and a day. I was just thinking about how long it's been. I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, I was here when you started.
We're still 29.
Yeah, well, it was more than 29 years ago we became friends.
I plead the fifth, Frank. You're ratting me out on a Monday morning. It's not good.
Been a long time. Where are the tarpon at right now?
There's some fish scattered along the beach. The harbor holds some pretty good fish right now. It's same as always.
What's going on? Now, let's break it down a little bit better. What's going on down along the beaches?
There's a few fish in the passes. It's nothing you can actually set your watch by. You really have to be on your toes. There's been fish scattered between the passes the last couple weeks. One day they're there, next day they're not.
Now, between what? Boca and Captiva?
Captiva, Boca, Little Pass, Stump Pass. There's been fish scattered around. Starting to see more and more people out searching every day. So
now, what's going on in Boca and Pass? I heard it was pretty good.
There was some fish in there that were real good here last week. I haven't had much time. We've been offshore more so than the tarpon side. Like I say, we're getting the tarpon boat all fine-tuned this week. Should pick it up today.
Have you heard any stories about tarpon around anywhere?
There has been. Actually, I fished with some buddies of mine yesterday kind of playing, and we had 4 yesterday.
Now, was that in Boca Raton?
We were fishing Captiva, and then we fished some a little past north. But basically just out scouting, looking around. And then, like I say, it's been an early morning bite and a late afternoon bite. Once the boat traffic starts rolling, it seems like these fish lay down. But that's normally the way they work. They don't want everybody to find them. They're still playing hide-and-seek as of yet.
Now, what's been going on up in the harbor?
Harbor's been some pretty good fishing up there as well. A lot of the guys are drifting up there, doing well with the tarpon. A couple buddies, they've been doing somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 for 9, things of that nature, in a day's fishing up there for the tarpon. Most of it's been drifting, some live baits, dead baits. The crabs, Frank carries them little crabs right here at the shop. They've been the magic bait as well. But they usually are, you know.
All right. Now, if I'm going to drift with tarp, looking for tarpon, what do you do? How are you rigging them up?
Well, if we're fishing crabs, I like to put a good 6 to 10 foot leader on my stuff and then look for the fish, you know. Look for them to breach their back out of the water and then drift that general area the water in the harbor can be a little bit murkier than down by the beach, so visibility can be a little bit more tainted for you. So look for one to break the surface and then fish that area pretty well, drift it with your tide.
Now, to me, what I do is, you know, when I was chartering, I would give each of the customers a rod that they could cast that fish. And then off the back, I would hang a couple of bait runners, live liners, you know, the dual drag reels, and one under a float and one free lined.
That works well. Like I say, you never know when you're fishing the harbor, Frank. Those fish are not as visible. So you want to get in the general area and make that drift. And, I mean, sometimes they want that crab. Sometimes they want that artificial, that DOA bait buster. That's probably been one of our best artificial baits for 30 years. Same as cut bait. Don't be scared to throw a piece of cut mullet on the bottom on one of them live liners and let it just drag along. I mean, you're going to wind up with some catfish. You're going to wind up with a shark here, there, possibly a good cobia out of the mess. But something's going to happen for you. And the odds are good on the silverfish as well.
One of the things that I've been telling people right now is get your some ladyfish, get some crabs, try and catch some pinfish or buy some pinfish. You know, we have them. Nothing steady, because as I tell people, picture the person who catches pinfish for a living. You know, I mean, now you know why the supplies are not real steady. But when you're try and get a little bit of everything and put a couple extra lines out just to see what goes on. But you always think about when you're putting the lines out, how many can you get in when you hook up the fish? You got, what would you say, about 3 minutes to get everything up and cleaned out of the way before you're really causing some potential problems?
Yeah, everybody has to work as a team. You can't go out there and have four guys or four girls on the boat and everybody want to do their own thing at their own pace. If you don't work at a team, you're going to have a tough day of fishing. That's the best thing I can tell you. There's no I in the word team nowhere that I've found in my entire life.
There is, right inside of the A.
Yeah, if you can read that. I don't read between the lines very well.
Right inside of the A, there's a little thing with a dot over it. anyway, but what I generally recommend is we do, you know, for the ones in the back, we do a drawing system. You know, pick a number from 1 to 10. First, closest one gets the first run, second run, third run, whatever. But when someone grabs the rod, the big thing the other ones have to do is get all their lines out of the way. That's any lines that are drifting behind a boat. When one person grabs rod with the fish on, the other ones immediately grab the rods that are just still out in the water and get those in and get the lines out of the way. That's a big key issue, because nobody's going to land a tarpon without help.
No, it won't happen. Like I say, Frank's very right there. You know, try to help your fellow fishermen out as well as you can, and then hopefully they're going to do the same thing for you when you get the chance with the fish on the rod. You know, the best part is normally drifting in the harbor, that fish hits that rod, he's usually going to take off somewhat. So it does give you a few minutes to get your stuff back together. Everybody get on the same page. Land that fish in a respectable time if you can.
Well, we recommend at least 40-pound braid, preferably 50 or 65, just so you can put enough lift on them. But one of the things, when I'm grabbing that rod, first off, okay, we got the lines out, we got guys, you know, they're holding the rods, they're casting, we're drifting, and all of a sudden the rod hits. The first thing I try and do is get somebody on the rod, get them holding it, get the drag up so that slows them down so they don't peel off all the line. Get the other lines out of the way. As one side of the boat clears off, get that person to the front of the boat.
Very good.
The most important thing is not, you got to get up to the front of the boat, because you're eventually going to follow this fish. And if you're in the back of the boat, it's very hard to control the issue. Get up to the front of the boat, get your rod tip up in the air so the person operating the boat can see which direction the fish is going by the bend of the rod. If your rod tips up, you can tell which way the fish is moving and all that kind of stuff. So rod tip up, and the guy following the boat simply points the boat at the direction of the bent rod. And that helps the whole thing work out, because it doesn't matter if you go up the left side of the boat or the right side of the boat, whichever one clears first.
Correct.
And then
a lot of us charter captains, we'll use a high-vis line. especially for tarpon fishing. Just because a customer points the rod to the, say, 11 o'clock off the bow, that fish could be at 2 o'clock off the bow as well. So a lot of times with that high-vis line, we can, as the captain, we can see, and then we can inform the customer to point that rod around to 2 o'clock, point it toward the fish, because when that fish jumps, if you don't bow to that king, odds are he's probably going to give you a look at him. He's going to flop his tail and go away about his business, and you're going to miss out.
Okay, now bowing to the king, I get this. Now, you're holding the rod, and the fish comes up out of the water. Now, what are you supposed to do to bow to the king? What's the whole idea
behind
this? Lay
that rod out to that fish, give him some slack line to a point. If you keep that line taut, that fish comes up shaking his head. He's going to pull that hook and throw that hook on you. And then you're going to be a very disappointed person at that point. You've had your shot. Now you just blew it. Now we have to start all over again.
So basically, you know, you've grabbed the rod. Your friends are getting the other rods and reels in. They reel up as fast as they can, get them in, get them stowed away. You're up on the front of the boat. You're holding the rod up at about 11 o'clock in the air, you know, according to, you know, figure the water's out in front of you at 9 o'clock and then 12 o'clock straight up. Holding that rod about 11 o'clock so you don't break the rod. Once you go past 12, most rods will break. But you're holding about 11:30 up, and you can watch the tip, seeing it go. But now, all of a sudden, that fish comes up out of the water, and when you have that line too tight, then the hooks pull, or just the way the fish landing on the line can pop
pull it.
So the basic thing is you lower your rod tip, extend your arms out, trying to create a couple of extra feet of slack.
Correct.
There.
Correct.
And that loose line is much harder for the fish to pull out.
Correct. It gives him room to move his head, shake about, do his thing. And if everything's on your side, the fish gods are looking out for you, the hook will stay where it's supposed to be.
They're also lucky this is radio. I'm thinking about shake about, wiggle about, cheer. Okay, we can shake about.
Yeah, but
I don't have no idea what's wrong with me.
It's like I say, it's a fun time. It's that time of year. Everybody get your stuff together, go through your tackle. You know, make sure your stuff is good. These fish, I mean, literally, we have some guys that want to fish 20, 30-pound line on them. And that's fine if that's what you want to do, but just remember you're stressing that fish out as well. And your odds of landing that fish at that point become slim.
Well, I will tell you the big difference is Charlotte Harbor is a very enclosed system, and things in the Gulf tend to wash up on shore. When you're in the Keys, they do a lot of light tackle tarpon fishing, and I don't agree with it at all. Because in the Keys, my humble opinion is the fish, as they die from being overstressed, just wash out. They go away. They don't get hung up. But if you do that in the harbor, a number of years ago, it was probably about 12 years ago, everybody went light tackle tarpon crazy. Do you remember that year?
Very much so.
And we got calls every day. There's this 6-foot fish floating dead in my canal, and there's this big fish on the shore over here, and there's this dead fish over there. When you're, the biggest problem is you can, I can land a tarpon on, I personally believe I could do it on anywhere, anything from 8-pound test up. I would lose a few, but I would land a lot of them. Now, I would kill almost every one doing it because I would be hours on the rod doing it. Probably kill me at this point. But the big thing is a tarpon gets down 6-8 feet right below the bottom of the boat, and you have to have enough power to pull that fish that last few feet up to get a hold of his jaw and now control the scene and get your hook out and revive him. And what's that acid they call it?
Lactate acid.
It gets in the muscles of a tarpon. And the guy says, well, you know, what is that going to do? I said, well, if you left the store here, ran to Punta Gorda and back as hard as you could go, most of us would have a heart attack before we even got close, but your muscles would all start to bind up and lock up. It happens almost on every creature once you push yourself past the limit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're holding the fish next to the boat, if he's stiff like a board, you don't want to release him. He may shake his head and stuff, but you got to wait until that fish undulates.
The whole body needs to be flexible at that point, guys, before you release him. Make sure the fish is able to swim away. downside
is... Well, there's a
is,
difference. If the body's still tight, they might swim off, but he's going to roll down to the bottom and die 50-50.
Yes, true, Frank. There is a difference. The sad part is getting people related to the difference between a fish that is ready to go and a fish that is not ready to go. And that's just going to come with time and somebody with experience showing you what to look for. I mean, we can tell you this on the radio, but it's not going to make that much sense till you actually have been in that situation.
But, you know, I would like to think people gotten better over the years and worry more about... I have kids, grandkids, and you have the same thing. And we're always looking out, watching for what we're doing to make sure our grandkids are going to have the same shot at what we did. So that's why we go over this so much.
Very much so. I have 9 of them and 1 great-grandkid. Now I'm really telling my age. But
you got a great-grandkid?
Yeah, we have a great-grandkid as well.
No kidding.
But
man, you are old.
You know how it goes, man. The only the good die young, so we got a long way to go.
Okay. But anyway, what's going on is right now we're having the earliest tarpon season I can remember.
Well, we actually had them a few years ago, Frank. We had a real mild winter. And a lot of these fish, as we all know, they're all temperature related as far as the water goes. They're migratory fish. A few years ago, we had fish at the end of April. I mean, end of March.
And we did this year, too.
This year as well. So, you know, March this year was one of the warmest Marches we've had on record.
Yeah, 9 degrees water temperature above normal right now.
Correct.
So, we're not supposed to be this warm until June. I'm thinking April, May are going to be May is going to be a spectacular month.
I'm with you. I'm really, really with you. I mean, I probably drug my feet a little bit, but we've been so busy offshore. I should already have the tarpon boat serviced, ready to go. It'll be done by today. It should have been done a week or two ago. But we've just been too busy. So
I've had the same problem. That's why radio fishing gets interrupted so much, is the store is so packed that today it's a little overcast. Everything. So we're just taking a little bit of time. You happen to be here, so I said, heck, let's take a little time and do this. But it has been a busy, busy season. And it's very simple. We'd like to think that, you know, it's that great and everybody just loves us and wants to come see Florida. But
it's still cold up north.
It's just
don't
been miserable up north. Yeah, I mean, if you're above Tampa, the weather has not been that good.
I didn't know there was anything north of Tampa anyhow, so I don't know. That's as far north as I go.
The big thing is, yeah, it's been one amazing season because we have literally been in, for a lot of this winter, one of the only places in the U.S. that was having good weather.
Correct.
And
correct.
So it's been an amazing season, and thank you guys so much for coming down to visit us. And the ones who are coming, we look forward to seeing you. Now, as far as what's your prediction? Do you think this is going to be a big year for the passes, or do you think more on the beaches or up in the harbor?
You know, that's a hard one to call right now, Frank. There's a lot of sharks already around. The sharks have been a problem the last few years in the passes. They get those fish kind of henned up in there. So I don't know if I can answer that honestly with you right now. Give me a few weeks, and I can probably give you a better idea of what I think's going to happen. I think we're going to have a very good array of fish. Harbor, beach, passes. Last year was probably one of the slowest areas that I've seen in all of my life of fishing for these fish, only because of the shark content.
Well, the shark content and the features of the pass change each year now.
That is true.
You know, there's no more... it's not a commercial shipping lane, so they don't keep it dredged out. So your water flows, the currents, the eddies can vary just enough, not so the fish don't want to hang there like they normally would. And because, let's face it, there's been a lot of sharks there for a lot of years and a lot of fishing pressure for a lot of years. It gets a little more every year, but
correct,
you know, it just goes by attrition. I mean, I've got 6 grandkids. You got 9 grandkids. I mean, that's 2 people turned into 9, and not including the ones in between.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So there are more people around. And that always has a little bit more. You're going to naturally grow a little bit more. And this is definitely one of the fun things to do. Tarpon is just an amazing fish. One of the things I've been trying to get people to understand is a tarpon is just a dumb old fish. There is nothing spectacular about a tarpon until
they jump.
He's on your line. Once that fish is on your line, it's a silver king. And it's beautiful, gorgeous. I mean, they make the most spectacular jumps, 6+ feet out of the water. You've got these huge fish glinting in the sun and crashing back into the water. It's spectacular. But if you're going to really be successful catching them, like up in the harbor, along the beaches, you have to understand that it is a fish.
Fins and tails, and there's no fences, guys. I tell people that on a daily basis. They're like, well, what are we going to catch here today? Well, you know what? Anything is possible.
Well, that's the best thing about Charlotte Harbors. Anything is possible. That's you could be sitting 6 feet of water off somewhere and all of a sudden hooking an 18-foot whatever it is, and for no reason at all, this monster fish just comes along and takes your little bait. But the hard part is getting them to use a variety of bait and not get the thought that it's this one perfect little live bait or this one perfect little thing that works. We do have things that work more often than others, but how many of you caught shark fishing? Big steel leader and the whole bit.
It happens. You will catch a lot of fish outside of the sharks.
Remember Norman Day? He used to cuss tarpon every year during our shark and catfish tournament.
Yep.
He would have to go through 6-8 tarpon a night to catch his catfish for the tournament, and he'd be cussing those tarpon all night long because he's throwing big chunks of dead bait out and just hooking up tarpon. You know, it's just one of those things. And that's why I try and go through that with people, is remind them you're fishing for a fish, not a silver king. Once he's hooked up on the line,
now we have the silver king.
And it's everything mystical and magical and spectacular that you could ever want. But if you get that in your head before you go, you tend to get all wound up and you'll do everything wrong.
Tend to. They get overexcited. It's like anything else. It's like a kid in a toy store, you know. He went in there to get him a model, but then he seen all these other things. He had no idea what he really wanted at that point.
Yeah. Well, you just make mistakes is all. So anyway, you've been doing offshore. Let's switch to the offshore thing for a little while. How's the big boat doing?
Big boat's been doing real well. We had a spectacular winter. We'd like to thank everybody that helped us along with that. Busier than we thought for the first season out with the big boat. Things were real good. Caught a lot of real nice fish. Met some real nice new customers that are fishing with us now. So we look for nothing but more and bigger and better things as the year progresses with that boat as well.
Now, what's the name of your website?
It's www.sportfishingplacita.com.
Sportfishing, PLACIDA.com. I need to go get a... I got everything wrong.
That's Frank and his typing.
Yeah, anybody's ever read the website knows that I can't spell and I can't write.
But no, like I say, it's been a real good season. A lot of real nice grouper, real nice snapper, and some real happy customers to boot.
I just was looking for a picture of your little boat on here. You got a picture of your little boat on here?
Yeah. You would have to go to amenities, I think, Frank.
Amenities? Okay. What the? All right. Yeah, I don't know. I'll look
top,
it up here.
Up top.
Top what? Catch the memory of a lifetime. This?
Down. See where it says amenities right there? To the right of home.
About amenities. Okay. Yeah, you got home, about, the catch, amenities. There she is. Okay, I just want to get a picture of your little boat. I'm going to put that up next to the show here.
We got to hold his hand sometimes, but it's vice versa. He holds mine as well sometimes to get me through shit.
I'm sitting here looking at this going, amenities? Where the heck is that? You know, it would be nice if I was an actual human. Okay. Anyway, so tell me about what are you guys catching offshore right now?
The grouper fishing has been just unreal. May the 7th, as everybody probably is aware, They're going to cut our red grouper back to 2 per person. We've been at 4 all winter. May the 7th at 12:01 in the morning, it goes to 2, so don't get caught. Trying to keep 4 of them at that point, guys. And then I think July, they're going to open our gag grouper back up as well, which will put us back to 4 per person. So the snapper's been good. We've got the lane snapper. They're starting to spawn offshore now. The vermilion snapper are spawning as well.
How are the vermilion? I haven't heard a lot about them this year.
Been a lot of vermilions. Been several trips that we've literally turned the water orange, chummed them up to the surface as far as you could see down and be solid orange. Looks like a big koi pond. And some nice ones as well. You know, that snapper is a minimum size is, I think, 10 inches on those. But we've been getting the 16, 17-inch range on the vermilion snapper, which is good for our coast.
Now, what's the best bait out there right now? I mean, I'm selling tons of squid, a bunch of sardines and stuff. Is there anything you can advise people? And how far out would you go?
You know, right now, the squid and the sardines have been probably some of the best baits you could use all winter long. The live bait's been in and out, and as long as the squid and the sardines are working, I mean, why make it difficult? Keep it simple. Go in the local tackle shop here and grab your bait, throw it on the boat, you're good to go. We always make sure we have plenty of live bait on board as well.
Now, what are you using for live bait? Let's go just for a second with some of that.
Normally, we've got squirrel fish. We've got some pin fish on board. We'll have blue runners on board. Those seem to work. Just depends on really what we're fishing for. You know, the best bites seems to have been the kingfish right now. The blue runners are working good to troll them as a live bait for the kingfish.
Now, how are you trolling the blue runners for the kingfish? Are you getting them deep, shallow? What's going on?
The kingfish have actually been hitting surface lures and deep. It doesn't matter.
Now, all right, I hate to ask you this, but what kind of surface lures are you using?
We've used several, being spoons, a couple others being like the Green Machine, which is a trolling bait we can do at a high-speed troll.
What's high speed on this? Okay, let's go into
that.
For
me, on a high speed is normally we're running those out when we're running out to go to our grouper. And that's going to be somewhere around 17 knots we're running, wow, dragging these baits.
That's quick.
You're still going to have to make sure you got plenty. If you're fishing braid, make sure you got plenty of mono on the backside of that. If not, you're not going to wind. You're going to wind up losing a lot of lures because they're going to hit that thing at a pretty good rate of speed plus your speed. Well, before you know it, you got no stretch, and there went a lure.
So you're like me. You prefer when I'm trolling, I like to have the monofilament.
I do.
Either that or I got to have a really super loose drag. Because usually it's the fish hits, the line will stretch, the rod will bend, the drag gives. Now you're eliminating a third of that.
Yeah, and I do a lot of roll-on mono on top of my braid when I troll with it. Just because I do get stretched that way and you won't break off as many fish.
Top shot.
Yeah, so, give me a good top shot on top of the braid for trolling.
Now, we've kind of reversed the whole issue. We started out a few years ago putting monofilament under around the base of the spool and then putting the braid over the top of it. And now what people are finding out is that the monofilament's actually better for the catching of the fish, but you can't put enough line on there for some of these bigger fish. So we're using the braid as backing so that you can have several hundred extra yards and putting a couple hundred yards of mono on top of that.
Correct.
And it really seems to be working out good.
It gives us plenty of stretch because some of these bigger fish, I mean, when they hit it, and a lot of people have a hard time understanding, even if you're bottom fishing with your braid, if you'll run a pretty good piece of mono for a leader, that gives you enough stretch that you don't have any issues of if you do wind up with a big 25-pound plus grouper that whacks on it, he's not going to break it off as quick. And especially this time of year, you're starting to get some AJs and some barracuda swimming around, and like I say, the kingfish and a blackfin tuna here and there. So one of those whack a bottom line in your fishing braid, you're usually going to get whacked off right there anyhow because you don't have any stretch to actually get that hook set. So, you know, that's something you guys might want to think about as well. Depending on what you're doing, everything's going to change, just like anything else in life. You have to adjust it to where you're at and what you're doing.
All right, so basically right now, if somebody's sitting out there listening, we got a couple of nice days coming up this weekend. How far out should they go?
I would say somewhere around 20 miles offshore, you should be fine. There's still some pretty good fish inside of that as well.
What's up with the tuna? I'm sorry, I just remembered that. Tuna's been hitting all over the place.
There's been some blackfin. The water temperature's up, though, you know. I mean, there you go again. We're right back to this warmest March we've had in history. So.
I've had three reports of mahi-mahi out there. Small ones, chicken dolphins,
yep.
But three reports of mahi-mahi, bunches of people who have caught some amazing blackfin tuna, and is that going to be in that 20-mile range as well?
They've been inside of 20, actually. Some of them have been caught. Buddy of ours here a week or so ago caught a real nice 21, 22-pound blackfin inside of 10 miles.
And what was he using?
I don't know for the fact. All I know is he caught it. I've seen the pictures. But I will know more this weekend. We're going to try to take a boys' day, and we're going to make a long run, go see what's playing in the deep water. So,
are you going out 100 miles?
I'm going to leave and go about 80 miles. I'm leaving for 2 days, go play before tarpon season starts. I got to get a little free time for myself, get my mind right.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. People, if they've ever dreamt of going out and spending a couple days out in the Gulf of Mexico, because night fishing, when you light up the boat and all those fish come
it's
up
phenomenal.
Around the boat, it's like, it's literally being in a different universe.
It's a different world. You're inside the globe at that point.
Yeah, you're in the fishbowl, and they're all surrounding you, and you've got the water lit up, you got chum going, and there's just fish everywhere around you. And you're literally taking a spinning rod and going, hey, I want to try and catch that one. And you cast at them. It's crazy.
Very
crazy
much so.
Fishing.
But
you do
adventure.
Those. You
we
do those.
Those. We offer the 24, 36, 48-hour trips. They can get a little pricey depending on what you want to do. But just give us a call and
you gotta have two
we'll make
captains.
It happen.
You got to have two captains. You got to have all the food. You got to have the fuel. There's a lot involved. And so, yeah, that's quite it.
But it is one adventure that everybody, if you really enjoy the water, you need to try it one time.
We always tell people just have that picture in your head and be able to see it, much less do it and experience it, is amazing.
The simplest thing
it's way better than TV, guys. It looks a lot better than it does looking at it on your phone.
The simplest thing with the whole trip is there's nothing in the way of that sunset. You get to see every ounce of it drop below the horizon.
I like it when it sizzles.
That's it.
Right as it touches the water.
That's it.
You listen real close, you can hear it sizzle. So, anyway, about 20 miles out, bottom fishing, make sure you got some pinfish, some squirrel fish, some squid, some sardines.
Yep.
And I'd start drifting, and then once you start hooking up, then anchor up and fish them.
Well, the drifting, it really depends on your wind and your current, guys. Don't get out there and think you're going to just drift because you're there. If you've got a little bit much wind and too much current and you can't slow the boat down, you're really just
trolling
basically. That would be a good answer. You're moving a little bit too fast to drift fish for the bottom fish at that point, and you're going to be discouraged. So
and the wind socks are getting expensive. I ordered a bunch of them because I found a real good bunch at a good price, and they just never sent them. And I'm watching the price of drift socks going up 3-4 times what it was a couple years ago. We're looking around again trying to get a deal on some, because a drift sock out there can be the difference between catching and not catching.
Yes, and there's another way to get around that as well. You really need to know the bottom you're fishing, but you can drag your anchor lightly as well.
Yeah, or some 5-gallon buckets.
You know, there's other redneck ways to get around anything. So, but I would recommend if you don't have a windsock, maybe drag your anchor a little bit. Just kind of know where you're at, because if not, you can tear up some awful valuable bottom or lose an anchor as well. So
yeah,
and they get expensive.
Now, you're almost into full-time tarpon season. It's probably going to be one of the last times I really see you much for the next 3 or 4 months. But it was good talking to you, D. Appreciate you coming on. Any advice for the weekend angler? Have you been inside at all?
I haven't really. We haven't done any much snook and red fishing at all. It's been pretty busy with the offshore, Frank. A lot of our winter residents have been trying to get them a cooler full of grouper and snapper to take home, put in the freezer for the summer to try to get them through. I've been trying to cut them a little short so they show back up early, but I don't know. We'll see how that worked for me.
So instead of, 150 pounds of fish in the cooler, you're keeping them down to like 140?
No, we're pushing them down to about 80.
80 pounds.
Yeah, that way they'll be back about September.
Okay. And we've talked about that with several of the captains. People forget how good the fishing here is August and September.
Well, if they all knew, none of us locals would be able to fish. That's all I can tell you. They think our winter fishery is the best thing since sliced bread, but thank God it gets hot. Because it runs them all back home, then we get to play with the big fish by ourselves.
Yeah, September is the time that it literally is one of the most amazing months of the year to go fishing here. So, anyway, we're going to call this quits. This is Fishing Frank in the chair. Got Captain Dwayne French. I've got a couple pictures up here, one with Dwayne with a tarpon and another one with a picture of his little tarpon boat. And he's booking tarpon trips and still booking offshore trips, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, all right. Well, anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to Radio Fishing, and I guess we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Tight lines.